Welcome and thank you for joining us for this service at Plymouth Presbyterian Church in St. Helens, Oregon. This is from the January 18th, 2026 service at Plymouth, the second Sunday after Epiphany. The sermon will be delivered by Pastor Peter Blank.
I waited patiently for the Lord. God inclined to me and heard my call.
God drew us out from the desolate pit, out of the miry bog, and set our feet on the rock.
God has put a new song in our mouths, a song of praise the Lord.
Blessed are those who trust in the Lord and do not.
Let us worship the one who lifts us, steadies us, and gives us a song.
Next is the hymn, What a Fellowship, What a Love Divine. Next is the hymn, Sweet, Sweet Spirit.
The first scripture reading is from Psalm 40, verses 1 through 11. Listen to what the Spirit is saying to the church. Thanksgiving for deliverance and a prayer for help. I wait patiently for the Lord. He inclined to me and heard my cry. He drew me up from the desolate pit, out of the miry bog, and set my feet upon a rock, making my steps secure. He put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise for our God. Many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord. Happy are those who make the Lord their trust, who do not turn to the proud, to those who go astray after false gods. You have multiplied, O Lord my God, your wondrous deeds and your thoughts toward us. None can compare to you. Were I to proclaim and tell of them, they would be more than can be counted. Sacrifice and offering you do not desire, but you have given me an open ear. Burnt offerings and sin offering you have not required. Then I said, here I am. In the scroll of the book it is written of me, I delight to do your will, O my God. Your law is written in my heart. I have told the glad news of deliverance in the great congregation. See, I have not restrained my lips, as you know, O Lord. I have not hidden your saving help within my heart. I have spoken of your faithfulness and your salvation. I have not concealed your steadfast love and your faithfulness from the great congregation. Do not, O Lord, withhold your mercy from me. Let your steadfast love and your faithfulness keep me safe forever. This is the word of the Lord.
Next are verses 1 and 2 of How Great Thou Art.
We turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verses 29 through 42. The next day, John the Baptist saw Jesus coming toward him and declared, "Here is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he whom I said, 'After me comes a man who ranks ahead of me, because he was before me.' I myself did not know him, but I came baptizing with water for this reason, that he might be revealed to Israel." And John testified, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him. I myself did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water said to me, he on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain is the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. And I myself have seen, and I myself have testified that this, yes, this is the chosen one. The next day, John again was standing with two of his disciples. As he watched Jesus walk by, he exclaimed, look, look, here is the Lamb of God. The two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. When Jesus turned and saw them following, he said to them, what are you looking for? They said to him, Rabbi, which translates teacher, where are you staying? He said to them, come, come and see. And they came and saw where he was staying. And they remained with him that day. It was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. One of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his brother Simon and said to him, we have found the Messiah, which is translated the Anointed One. He brought Simon to Jesus, who looked at him and said, Simon, you son of John, you are to be called Cephas, which is translated Peter, which also means rocky. I'll get to that later. This is the word of the Lord. Finding our place in God's story. In this opening chapter of John, it is about Jesus being baptized by John the Baptizer and then beginning to call his followers, his disciples. Every once in a while, we ask the question, the quiet question, where do I fit now? It doesn't always come during a crisis. Most often it shows up in very ordinary ways. At times when life looks different than it used to. It shows up when our energy isn't what it once was. It shows up also when the church feels smaller. It shows up when the world feels faster than we are. And we start to wonder whether our most meaningful chapters are well behind us in the distance, or whether God is still writing something in our lives. Today's scripture meets us right there. Psalm 40 begins, I waited patiently for the Lord. It doesn't begin. We had a banner just fall. Some of the aging strings are letting go. And like most of us, have a little achiness in the morning. So pay attention for falling objects. Just say it. There's plenty of room here in the front row. You're absolutely right. We needed to take that down right away. Psalm 40 does not begin with the words, I figured it all out. It does not begin with the words, I powered through. No, it begins with the words, I waited. Waiting is hard. It can feel unproductive. It can feel invisible. It can feel very discouraging. And the psalmist does not pretend otherwise. He himself talks about being stuck in a pit, stuck in the mud, unsure of his footing. And that image, I think, rings true for many seasons of life. Times when we don't know what's next, or even when we're unaware of all that we can't do anymore. And then there comes the turning point. And it was the turning point that made Gina stumble as she read it, because it was an unusual, uncomfortable phrasing. The Lord inclined to me and heard my cry. We see God leaning in, listening for what our words, our groanings, our cryings will say. God doesn't scold the psalmist for being stuck. God leans in. God listens. And then God lifts the psalmist out, up again on his feet and on solid ground. And that is how faith works. It's not all at once, not dramatic in those terms, but it's quiet. And it's faith-filled. At that time, it feels like waiting. It's only later that we realize that God was carrying us the whole time. The psalmist then says, God put a new heart. Let me get the words right. My brain is ahead of the mouth sometimes. God put a new song in my mouth. Not a louder song, not a flashier song, a new song. That's new song shaped by experience, by trust, by having been held through something difficult and challenging. And then this line, I delight in to do your will, O my God. It's not an accomplishment. It's a statement of belonging. The psalmist has found his place in God's story, and found it not by being impressive, but simply by being faithful. And we see the same thing in the gospel. John the Baptist sees Jesus coming and says, here's the Lamb of God. And that's it. John's role is to point. He doesn't center on himself. And when his own disciples, hearing those words, go and follow Jesus, that would feel weird, very strange. And yet John lets them go. John knows where he fits, and he's very at peace with it. The disciples who follow Jesus don't know yet. They trail behind him quietly, and Jesus turns and asks a question that still feels a bit personal. What are you looking for? Not what you believe, what do you believe, but do you understand? Not asking, do you understand everything? Just simply, what are you looking for? And the disciples of John answer awkwardly, where are you staying? That would not have been my first question. Not mine, nope. But that phrase, where are you staying? They're asking, can we be with you? Can we stay close to you for a while? And Jesus' simple answer, come and see. And that's how we begin following. How discipleship begins for us, not with certainty, just with presence. Be near, be here, just by staying close enough to notice. It is an interesting thing that the gospel writer John adds, that when all of this is happening, it's Andrew who peels off and goes and finds his brother. And who's his brother? Simon Peter. And he says to his brother, we found the Messiah, the anointed one. That's all he says. And that's enough. God's story moves forward through small acts, through noticing, through pointing, and through inviting. And it brings me to something I've learned over the years. some of the most faithful moments of discipleship, of following Jesus, don't look like much at all at the time. I once visited a woman who could no longer come to church. She told me she missed sitting in the pew. She missed singing the hymns that we sang on Sunday. She missed feeling like she was part of things. And then she said very honestly, "I don't know what good I am anymore." And then she added almost casually that every Sunday in the hour of worship, she would take her chair and sit there in her chair at home. She would open her Bible and open the bulletin from last week, and she prayed. She prayed for the people she knew would be in church that Sunday. She prayed for the minister. She prayed for the choir. She prayed for the children that she once taught, now grown up. She prayed for the friends that she worried had forgotten her. She didn't think it counted for much. Hear this. She was very much still in God's story. She was still waiting on the Lord, still bearing witness, still helping hold the church together in ways that no one else could see. She wasn't doing something new. She was doing something faithful. And that's how often it works. God doesn't give us a new role. God often deepens the one that we already have. Sometimes that calling becomes much quieter, but no less holy. John the Baptist pointed and then stepped back. Andrew invited one person. The psalmist waited and trusted. That woman, she prayed in her chair. All of them had a place. Finding our place in God's story doesn't mean trying to be the one we once were. It means trusting God is still at work, though we are who we are now. Jesus still turns to us and asks, "What are you looking for?" And he still says to us, "Come, come and see." Someone asked the great writer and thinker, the theologian Paul Tillich, what mattered most after all the books, all the thinking, all the questions? What mattered most? And he simply answered, "Jesus loves me. This I know." Not because he'd figured everything out, not because his life had been easy, just because that was truth enough. That truth was enough to hold everything together. In a few moments, we're going to sing a little song that we probably learned when we were youngsters. "This Little Light of Mine." Maybe that's the heart of it. Faith at its deepest doesn't have to be complicated. Jesus loves me. And that light still shines. John pointed to Jesus. Andrew brought one person. A woman prayed in her chair when she could no longer attend worship. That's a light. And that light still shines. So when we sing "This Little Light of Mine," do so not as a children's song, but as a reminder to each of us, the light of God placed in you and in me has not gone out. Find your place in God's story. Let your light shine.
Next is the hymn, This Little Light of Mine.
Hear us now while we pray as Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Let us take our morning's offering.
Next is the hymn, I Love to Tell the Story.
Oh. been with you in past years, walk with you in the days to come. May Christ, the Lamb of God, give you peace and courage. And may the Holy Spirit place a quiet song of hope in your heart today and always. Amen.